Open your Bibles, please, to John, the 10th chapter. John 10. We'll read the first 11 verses of John, the 10th chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that I might have it more abundantly. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the goodness and mercy that you've extended to us. We ask your blessings upon this waiting congregation and help us as we turn to the Word that we may find comfort and encouragement and that may help us to be better witnesses for thee. We pray for those that have been mentioned tonight in prayer, those that are sick in body and those that are sick in soul. Help us to be good witnesses and to live faithfully in accordance with thy will. Bless Brother Penn tonight as he speaks and give him the freedom and that he needs. And we pray that you would bless the congregation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you about the sheep and the shepherd. In many ways, the Lord's people are like sheep. Therefore, they're called sheep. Now, we're not called sheep because we are sheep. We're called sheep because we are like sheep. In many ways, God's people are like sheep. Let me point out some of the ways in which we are like sheep. First of all, we're like sheep in that we have great need for cleansing. The sheep is one of the most helpless of all animals to cleanse itself. Now, dogs, cats can do something to cleanse their person, but not so with the sheep. And I thought as I meditated upon that, we too are foul with sin, uncleanness, and we're utterly helpless to cleanse ourselves. We must depend upon God to do that. At our very best, apart from the grace of God, we're dressed up in rags of self-righteousness. Then again, we're like sheep in that we have great need of protection. Sheep is a helpless animal. They must have protection. You ever hear of a sheep whipping a lion or tiger? You ever hear of A sheep putting a wolf to flight? Just doesn't work that way. They're animals that that really need protection. We too, like sheep, need protection from our adversaries. And I think in a sense that you could say our three adversaries, our three enemies, are the devil. He's a very real being. The devil and the wicked world system in which we live, and the Adamic nature that is within us. These are our adversaries, and we need help. We need protection from them. Then again, we're like sheep in that we're prone to wander. You know, sheep wander. The prophet Isaiah put it like this: all we like sheep have gone astray. The sheep have a tendency to stray, and so do we. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're like sheep in that we do wander away. We're like sheep in our need of guidance. You know, there are animals like a cat that you can take miles away from home and the cat comes back. Not so with the sheep. A sheep can get lost inside of home. They are so helpless when it comes to guidance. Like sheep, you and I must have guidance, someone to show us the way, or else we'll be lost in the world's maze of confusion. Again, we're like sheep in that we have need of correction or chastisement. The Oriental shepherd had a stick that he carried with him, and one end of the stick was used to fight off animals, and the other end of the stick was used to chasten the sheep. The work of chastening the sheep was the work of the shepherd. And I thought, as I read that, you and I have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, who's willing to chasten us, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Again, I think we're like sheep in that we don't have much sense. Now, maybe I better rephrase that. We do have good sense, but many times we don't use it. We're like sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb. You ever see them trained to do tricks of any kind? You ever see one in a circus? I can't recall it. Other animals seem to be able to catch on to signals and do it, but not a sheep. So I'm willing to admit that I'm a foolish sheep. Are you? Well, you are, whether you admit it or not. You're a foolish sheep. Like sheep, we've done many foolish things, and it seems that we continue to do foolish things. But let me tell you, friends, this is the second part of my message. We're foolish sheep, but we have a wonderful shepherd. We have a shepherd that cares for us. First of all, we have the good shepherd that the Bible says laid down his life for us. In John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice it says he giveth his life. Strange as it may seem, many people think that Jesus Christ was the victim of a mob, that they took his life. But the record says in John 10, 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As I read that, I thought of the same glorious truth that Paul wrote when he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, get this, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion or in habit as a man, he humbled himself. Even we're told unto the death of the cross. Self-humiliation. He laid his life down for us. Why was it necessary that the good shepherd die for us? Well, man had sinned against God and demanded a penalty. The wages of sin is death. Either man must die, be separated from God, or the Son must come and live without sin and die in our place and thus become our substitute. Why did Christ come and live? Why did he die? Modernists tell us, at least some do, that Jesus Christ lived to show us how to live and died to show us how to die. That simply isn't true. Jesus Christ, first of all, died for our sins. He became a sin sacrifice for us. Once we receive him as our sin sacrifice, then he becomes our model or our example. But he didn't simply live that we might know how to live and die that we might know how to die. Why did Jesus die? He died because we were lost without that death. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Because Christ died for our sins, he's called the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, the religion of Jesus Christ is inclusive and it's exclusive. It includes Jesus Christ as Savior and excludes everything else and everyone else. Then Jesus is not only the good shepherd that died for our sins. The Bible says he is the great shepherd brought back from the dead to care for and to protect us. May I read to you, please, from Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he was the great shepherd brought back from the dead to care for and protect his sheep. Now that he is doing now, today, right now. He's the great shepherd brought back from the dead, and he cares now for his foolish sheep. We often forget that. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Saved by his life? That's what it says. Reconciliation between a holy God and sinful man is brought about through the death of Christ. But we're saved to the uttermost through the life of Christ. He not only died for us, he lives for us. Now, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so Jesus Christ lives today. He cares for us. I wonder, I'll not ask you to respond, but I wonder how many of you know the 23rd Psalm. Perhaps several of you do, maybe all of you. You've read it many times. With many people, it's the favorite passage in all the scriptures. And yet I dare say that many people do not stop to think of the meaning of it. Psalm 23 refers to the situation as it is right now. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He meant the Lord is my shepherd now. And he said, "I'll not want for rest. I'll not want for refreshment. I'll not want for restoration. I'll not want for guidance. I'll not want for courage. I'll not want for comfort. I'll not want for supply, power, protection. I'll not want for anything forever. The Lord is my shepherd." Now, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's our earthly life, my friends. All the days of my life, David said. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Foolish sheep, yes. But we have a wonderful shepherd. One who died for us. One who lives for us. And then he's the chief shepherd that's coming back to get us. I want to read to you from 1 Peter 5 and verses 1 through 4. The elders, 1 Peter 5, 1, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock." And notice verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." There are two things the under-shepherd is forbidden to do. The under-shepherd is the pastor. That's who he's talking about there. The pastor is forbidden to let money motivate his ministry. Any man's ministry that's motivated by money will compromise the truth. You do it for money. Then again, he is forbidden to lord it over God's heritage or to rule over the church in the sense of dictatorial powers. Preacher doesn't own the church owns the preacher. And I think preachers need to keep that in mind. But the pastor that does his job well will be rewarded by the chief shepherd when he comes back. And not only is he going to reward those faithful under shepherds, but he's going to reward all of his sheep. Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." I rejoice tonight in my shepherd. I'd hate to think that I'd have to depend upon my record, or that I'd have to depend upon my wisdom and my knowledge in order to get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm depending on the one that died for me. And then, day by day, I'm depending on the great shepherd brought back from the dead to take care of me. And then I know someday he's coming back to give me a new body, give you a new body, give us a new world order, so we have a wonderful time ahead. But in the meantime, there's work to be done, and let's be faithful so that when we see him face to face, we'll be able to look into his eyes with confidence and not be ashamed before him at his presence.